Well, welcome to Team Night on the line, or actually on the Zoom line for now. And we have our one and only Pastor Lucinda Dooley with us, an incredible leader in every way. I think that she has the ability, this incredible ability to read atmospheres. She has the ability to speak a discerning word in every season. And we love that about you. You are so special to us. And I know that you don't realize the power that your words hold. I know you don't realize what incredible discernment you actually carry. I feel like it's a gift. But thank you for always bringing us a word in season. You're always spot on, and I feel it's completely God inspired. So we honor you and we love you so much, and we're so grateful that you are with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Manny. That's very kind, and I really am blessed and honored and privileged to be here and to get to speak to all the incredible creative community of our church. And you guys are amazing, and what you bring week in and week out is absolutely astounding, and we're super, super, super grateful for it. So give yourselves a huge hand. You're amazing. We love you. Thank you very much for having me. It's awesome.
It's so good to have you. We love that we get to spend some time with you in this season. But I thought maybe we could speak about something that you're really good at, and that is changing atmospheres. I know there's not a lot of leaders out there that speak into or equipping their teams to change atmospheres or even to read them. So I thought maybe we'd start with the first question. You know, I think it's for us, it seems like it comes easy to you. I don't know if it's something that a gift that you've got, or that you're born with it. Like, have you had to work on it? Is it something that you've been intentional with? Maybe explain how you've become this great atmosphere changer.
Well, I have to say, first and foremost, I've never set out to be an atmosphere changer. I've never thought of myself as an atmosphere changer. So thank you so much that you would think that I am. That is a huge privilege. And I think it helps when you're leading anything to be able to shift atmospheres. But so I've never really thought of myself as that. So, but I do receive what you're saying and say huge thank you for that. It is definitely something that I've had to grow in. I've had to grow in all aspects of that. I think my personality by nature is to encourage and to help lift people. And so I think, is it something that's come naturally? Well, probably not, but has encouraging others and lifting others, I think that's come more naturally. And so I think the more I've learned about leading any kind of smaller group, the more you learn about people, the more you can work out, okay, what do people need and how do I lift this and how can I propel them forward in the best direction? So, yes, I've had to grow in it. I would say I've had to grow in my confidence in leading any scenario. I've had to grow, and I think everybody has to grow in their credibility of who they're leading. People have to trust you, and that affects your ability to change an atmosphere. I think if you understand the authority in which you work in, then you'll be able to change the atmosphere in an even greater way. I think having that ability and insight to read a room and know what that room means, whether there's 10 people in the room, 7 people in the room, or 5,000 people in a room, I think you've got to be able to look at that and know how to read that room. So I've had to grow in that massively. I think discerning what is needed and what God would want to do in that setting, I've had to grow in that. So, pardon me, in answer to all of those questions, yes, I have had to grow in working this out. I think I'm still growing all the time, every day. Every time I do something that involves a public forum, I think I'm learning how to change atmospheres and how to read that and work out what I must do and what does it need and what can we bring. So I've definitely had to grow in it.
So would you say that every time you walk into a room, just practically, you'd walk in and you'd be intentional about looking out at who's in the room, what you're picking up? Is some practical, maybe speak into some practical things that you have to do that you would
do. I mean, I remember, I think it was John Maxwell saying, whenever he walks into a room, he makes the room not about himself. And I thought that was such a great thought. And so when I go into any room, I don't always get this right. In fact, I get it wrong probably more than I get it right. But I do often think about that and think, I want to make this room or this situation or this meeting or this scenario, I don't want to make it about me, but I want it to make it about the others in the room. And I think if you deflect off yourself and onto others, you've got a much better ability straight up to be able to lift the room, because you're not making it about you, you're making it about others. And so I guess I do often try to do that. I think it depends what scenario I'm in as to what I think that room needs. If I'm leading something or trying to bring something, then I look at it a little bit differently. But if I'm just there to have a good time, I try to make that about others. I try to make it about others all the time. But I hope that makes sense. Yeah.
That's so good, because I think what I've seen, what I've observed you do, I've seen you in maybe it's a service, and that's obviously a bigger setting. I've seen you get up on the platform, I've seen you watch what that service is feeling like or reading it, and then I've seen you take something that could have potentially stayed a little bit not dull, but like average, and I've seen you speak into it in such a way that it turns the entire service around. And then I've seen you in scenarios where you're in a meeting, or there's a fly here, and and then I've seen you in a meeting, and there may be some challenge in the meeting in terms of the atmosphere. You know, maybe some people are struggling in it, or maybe you just feel like there's a bit of tension, and I've seen you diffuse it. And then I've seen you speak from the platform about your, you know, personal ways of how you've changed atmospheres in your personal life, where you've gone, actually, you've got with God and you've gone, okay, well, I need to change this. And you've got in there and you've changed it within a moment. So I'm wondering, do you sometimes wait? Do you watch things for a while and wait? Or do you sometimes get in there straight away? Like, for instance, in a service, you'd get in there straight away. But in your seasons of your life, do you sometimes wait it out and just see where God's going and then, you know, start to change that? Or do you get into it straight away? Like, how would you, I'm not sure that makes sense.
I think I think what I would do is I'd read the situation and the people and the room and what was necessary. Sometimes I think you can have, if you're talking about running a church service, I think you've got to arrest it there and then. And so you've got to have good intuition. Sometimes I look at people's faces and I want to say that can be a good sign, but it can also not always be the true sign, because God can be moving and people look like he isn't. And God can be doing a whole lot in a person's heart, but it looks like they're so bored. So sometimes that can be a good sign. But I do look at people's faces and I do try to, I guess it's an intuition, I do try to feel the atmosphere in the room. Are people engaging? Are people responding? Are people like leaning into this? Are their hearts softening? And I think in a church service, you've got to be able to look and feel, whether you're a worship leader or whatever aspect, hosting the service or praying in the service, whatever that might be, I think you've got to have the ability to look and feel that out and then immediately address it. Because if you wait, then you miss your moment. And I feel like service to service, you've only got that, say, 70 minutes or 80 minutes, 90 minutes with these people. And our job is to take them on a journey, bring them from, maybe many people haven't spent time with Jesus in their whole week. So now we've got this moment where we can impact their life. So you can't waste a minute. You've got to go, okay, what are we going to do here? And whatever's needed, I think, to bring that in a church service, you've got to do that immediately. If I'm leading a meeting and the atmosphere is challenged and people are out of sorts, or someone in the meeting is angry or moody or has had a bad run or something's happened and it's affecting the whole meeting, sometimes I will just maybe try and lift it and say something funny and get everyone on the page, and then maybe afterwards I'll address that with the person. And sometimes you've just got to let it ride and then see how things palm out and work out. I think it's a hard one to define, but I think wisdom, if you can keep asking God for wisdom and keep asking God for insight, you get that. He gives you that. He gives you wisdom and he gives you insight as to, do you just need to crack a joke, or do you need to address something here, or do you need to just talk afterwards, or what's best need it. But I think you can't just let things ride forever. You have to lead it. And that's what a leader does. A leader will lead the change or lead the army or lead the team. So I think working out what is necessary in that and then bringing that to the mix. I hope that makes sense.
That's so good. That is so good. Because I feel like sometimes even, I think, you know, if you're a creative technology person listening to this and you go, well, how does that apply to me changing the atmosphere because I'm not on the platform? Well, it could be in the lighting mix that you're doing. It could be in the ambiance you're creating.
Yeah. No, can I say on that, with the lighting, I think, like you mentioned lighting, I remember at our staff retreat last year, the room that we were in, it had quite white lights. But to change the atmosphere, we needed our nice, soft, yellow kind of warm lights.
Yeah.
And I remember being reminded yet again, lighting in a service is everything. Like if you can get the lights and the mood and the, you know, all of that right, then you, immediately people walk in and feel like, oh, this is beautiful. It's warm. And, you know, it's like in your home, if you light candles, you get the lights right. You do what you can. I think it changes the atmosphere. So I think lighting is a really great, great comment, Mans. Well done.
And I think it also spans across not only lighting, it's the screens that we put up. Like, are the screens creating the atmosphere that we want people to walk in, like you're saying, feel like they're home? You know, anything. So I think for creatives, I think what Pascal Lucinda is saying is, you know, the atmosphere is in every single one of our hands. It's not just the people on the platform. It can be you in sound. It could be you in TV. It could be Ansha's creative a creative design team that's like making everything beautiful. Wherever you find yourself, you have the ability to change the atmosphere. And like Pascal Lucinda said, do something about it. That will ensure that God is able to meet with people, and they're not the atmosphere is to a certain level that they feel comfortable and open to what God is going to do in the service.
Absolutely. And Mans as well, it's even, I know I'm talking to creatives tonight, but it's even the welcome and the whole experience that people sense and feel from the moment they drive their car in. All of that is creating atmosphere. That is why we're constantly talk about it and bring it to the forefront, is because the moment someone arrives at church, they're feeling something. And so whatever role you're doing, it's all adding to the atmosphere. Yeah. But can I just say something when it comes to atmosphere? I think the most important thing, which I've learned probably the hard way, is not to strive. If you know it's bad and you're trying to change it, people start to strive, and then they can go hard at the people, or they can lead out of the wrong angle. And I think if you can just calm yourself down, center yourself around, okay, God, what do you need to do here? And how am I going to fix this? Then you come out of a place of rest. Because the worst is like when you're trying to strive and come on, everybody, this is what we're doing and this is where we're going. Then it's like it doesn't create the atmosphere that we're trying to create. So I think taking the striving out, trying to center yourself on Jesus, remind yourself it's about him, keep your confidence, don't pull back, stay calm, everybody stay calm. Then I think you can keep leading it in the right way.
That's amazing. It's almost like there's an atmosphere within the atmosphere. Your own atmosphere will affect.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 100%. I think your own atmosphere affects so much of leading the atmosphere. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. I'm going to just go. There's a few questions that came through. I'm just going to. Pastor Luce, what would you say in terms of? I know that you mentioned earlier you watch and you listen to what God is saying to you in the room. Like, what would you say in terms of, because we can try and be these atmosphere changers and, like you said, do it in our own strength, but we're not actually relying. Sometimes we do it as a self-help technique. And how would you say the Holy Spirit plays a role in changing atmospheres?
I love that question, because I think the Holy Spirit is everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, we obviously run Colour Conference. Sadly, we're not running it this year. Oh, no. But we do say at Colour, look, if we have praise and worship and a message and the Holy Spirit's presence is there, we're going to be fine. And, you know, I think that is actually a reality. Like, if things fall over or the lights don't work or a microphone doesn't come on at the right time or the screen flickers or there's a little patch in it or something happens. Do you know what? Often we're our own worst critics. Now, yes, we want to go after excellence and make it the best we can. But I think if you have the presence of God there and he meets with people, that is the main thing. Because I do want to remind everyone that it's the anointing of God that breaks any yoke off a person's life. It's not like a better song or a better sermon or, you know, a more powerful rah-rah prayer. You know, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that destroys yokes. And, you know, that's what we want to go after. We want to go after the presence of God being in a room. We want to go after the Holy Spirit. Want to go after that power to break yokes off people, set people free, people to really come out of a service feeling like, man, I feel different. I feel different to when I came in. And people might come in heavy-hearted or troubled or worried or concerned or complacent or, you know, and you want them to walk out going, oh, man, I am glad I came today, and to whatever that is. And so I think the only way to really, really change that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And because you can go to a clever concert and you can go to a well-oiled, you know, very clever technical presentation. But if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, everybody goes out amazed, but actually no one's changed. And so we want people to come in and be changed. And so I think to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. I love that song Brooke was writing, when he walks into the room. How does that?
Awake.
What is that?
Yeah, awake. It's called Awake.
Awake.
Yeah.
And when is, I can't remember the words now, but when his robe walks in the room, yes. And I'm like, okay, that is just the most profound line ever. And I think that's what we seek after for him to be in the room. Yeah. That's
beautiful. I do agree. I think that the Holy Spirit is, we can do it. We can change a physical atmosphere, but atmosphere of people's hearts will not be changed unless the Holy Spirit is present.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and strongholds can't be broken off people without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so everything works together to make that amazing. Yeah.
Amen. And so, Pastor Liz, I wonder if you could maybe speak to people who say, look, they find themselves, can you still hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
They find themselves maybe in physical atmospheres, you know, maybe at their work, that are very negative, very challenging, and it actually affects their emotional atmosphere, like how they think.
Yeah.
What would you say, how do you have any tips for people to change? They can't change their physical, the challenge at work,
yeah,
the environment,
yeah,
they're in, yeah, the atmosphere, yeah, they're in, but what can they do emotionally to change their atmosphere?
Well, I think it's a great question. And I think I remember being in an environment that I found very challenging. And it was constantly challenging. And I remember thinking, I feel like this environment needs some encouragement. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to not wait for someone else to do that. I'm going to become an encourager. And so I would make that part of my job, my own personal job profile. I added it to my job profile that I would walk around every day and find a few different people to encourage. And it was amazing. As you start to be the culture you would like to create, I think you start to change the culture that you're in. And you might not have full control of everything, but at least you can start there. And I think you've always got to say, whatever you're leading, what kind of culture do we want to create, and how am I going to create that? I think the best way is to become that. If you want to build a generous church, you've got to be generous. If you want to have a faith-filled church, you've got to have a bit of faith in there. You know, whatever it is you want to create, you've got to become that culture. And if you're in a toxic or a challenged environment, you've got to decide, okay, what am I going to be in this? What am I going to bring, and what am I going to be in this environment? And I think you can do that for a certain length of time. And if it doesn't ultimately change, I think you've got to decide to place yourself in an environment where you can flourish and you can move forward. And so I think, again, it's getting the wisdom to know when and how to do that. But yeah, I think be the culture that you'd like to create. I think that's a great key.
That's awesome. I feel like there's a few times you've mentioned, I feel like the word encouragement is coming through, and it seems to be directly related to changing atmospheres. Earlier on, I think it was the first question we asked, we spoke through, you mentioned encouragement and how we encourage our church, or how we encourage people in a meeting or whatever. And you're mentioning encouragement now. You started to encourage people. So would you say that encouragement is one of the key elements of changing atmospheres?
I think so, because if you want to, if you care about everyone in the circle or in the room, you want to put courage in.
Right.
And if you want to put courage in, then people are going to respond to that. I mean, who doesn't respond to a little bit of courage being put in? Someone says to me, Lucinda, you've just said to me, Lucinda, you're an atmosphere changer. I mean, immediately I think, my gosh, that's amazing. And so you're putting some hope in me and life in me. And I think if you want to do that, you're going to have a much better platform to start to lift the room than anything else. That's why I think sometimes out of striving, people get up and say, you know, I see everybody in here is really tired and you've had a tough week. Well, we're going to just sing and we're going to lift our spirits. But immediately what you've done is you've told everyone they're tired and they've had a tough week. Where you get up and you say, hey, guys, I believe today this is going to be a life-changing service. You're going to walk out of here different to how you've walked in. There's going to come courage into your heart. God is going to lift your spirits. You might be have had some challenges. Well, you're going to walk out of here feeling light and free and full of faith. And immediately it's come from a different angle. And I think to put courage in like that, it always helps. It's a great platform to start from.
That's amazing. I wonder if we could just for a moment speak to some of our team, our worship leaders. And you mentioned earlier the credibility and how authority plays into changing an atmosphere. Actually, this doesn't only apply to worship leaders, but obviously they get to speak to our congregation on Sunday, but let's maybe speak to even, you know, our creatives who are running businesses and they've got teams that they're looking after, you know, in the secular industry, in the world industry, where they're having to lead teams, they're having to change atmospheres in the world, actually, which is possibly a lot more difficult than on Sunday. Let's talk about authority and credibility for a moment and go, well, how do they use their authority and their credibility to change, or how do they build into their authority and build into their credibility to become the atmosphere changers in their mission field?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously differs whatever scenario you find yourself in, but I think the currency, I would say, of any good relationship, because if you're going to change an atmosphere or lift a room, people have to feel that they can trust you. So if there's trust, then it's amazing how you can say things that take people on that journey. And so at your workplace or wherever you find yourself, I think people feeling like, man, this is a good person. I feel like I can trust them. The thing I always think is love doesn't fail. Lots of things fail, you know, lots of things can fail. And lights cannot work and microphones come on. Someone gets out of key and they can't regroup and they can't get the song back or you know, something happens. But you know what? If people feel like it doesn't matter, this person loves me, I feel like this room loves me, I feel like I belong here, then I think you bypass all of that. And so I think trust is hugely important. People to feel like you care about them is hugely important. That will build credibility. And then you've got the right to speak into something and to lead it in the right direction. And so I think never underestimate the power of being endearing. Like people feeling like, oh, there's warmth and there's this person's for real. And I think that's people, leaders don't go after that enough. They go after, I'm going to tell you what to do. This is how I want to build my team. This is how we're going to do it. But if we as leaders, I'm saying me too, if we can be genuinely more like, man, I'm genuinely more interested in endearing these people and caring for these people than I am about directing these people, I think we'll be much better leaders, because anything compelled and motivated by love is going to turn the thing around. Yeah.
Okay, that's...
Because love never fails.
That's incredible. I feel like it's all connecting, like love, endearing, like caring for people. It's all connected to then, obviously, like you're saying, credibility and there's a level of authority, but it all comes back to changing the atmosphere, encouragement, love.
Can I tell you, Mans, about a situation that had a bad atmosphere? So obviously, we've been pioneering here in Africa. What an incredible 12 years it's been. But I do remember pioneering different locations and pioneering quickly. You find yourself with different people groups. And I remember one night I went out to a particular new location and we had just pioneered it. And I remember looking at the people thinking, I think they hate us. Like they had their arms folded and they were like kind of looking down, and I'm like, and in the worship, no one kind of closed their eyes even. And I'm thinking, okay, what is going on here? This is terrible. And I remember when I got up to host the service, I remember saying to the people, hey guys, can I ask you a question? Do you like us? And I remember immediately everybody just like lost it. And because the atmosphere was so hectic, I was thinking, I think they hate us. And sometimes I think, you know, maybe you shouldn't even say that to a congregation, but I felt like I almost had permission on that particular night to say that. And everybody cracked up laughing, and then, you know, we made light of it and moved on. But you can find yourself in rooms that do look like they're not with you and they're not interested and they don't like you. And I think just to keep persevering, keep saying this is the culture we're going after, keep being the culture. Keep having fun with it, not take it too seriously, like have a good laugh, like do you guys even like us? And, you know, try and keep warming the people to yourself. I think that will turn it around. And that particular room I'm talking about is like 150% different today. It is warm. It is welcoming. It's probably our most family orientated location. It's incredible. But sometimes you've got to have the courage to keep on persevering through it all. Yeah.
That's incredible. I love that. Now we're all wondering which location we're talking about. Everyone is wondering which location is that. But we do have incredible location pastors, and I think that they have all learnt and are continuing to learn the art of changing atmosphere. So thank you for leading us in that. There's a question that came through about mindsets. I know that just recently you spoke an incredible message on the miscalculated mindset of Martha. Just for everyone who's on listening to this, can I say, I think Pastor has a blog on it. And so we'll get that out to you all. It's incredible. It's actually mind-blowing and mindset changing. But maybe speak a little bit about do you need to be an atmosphere changer? Would you need a certain mindset?
Oh, for sure. I think you need a mindset. Everything's about mindset. And no matter what you're leading, you've got to lead that thing with the right mindset. I'm actually reading a book at the moment called Mindsets. And because I think if you can tweak your mindset, the possibility out of that is huge. And I guess the scripture comes to mind, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And everything's about our thinking. Everything's about what we're trusting and believing for. I know it as a leader, if I walk into that service and think, I can't change this and I don't know what to do here and I have no faith in my heart, I have no trust that God is going to turn up, then of course that's the direction it takes. But if I walk in and I think, man, I am going to turn this thing around today. I'm going to own this. I'm going to step into this space. I am going to lift this service. You know, that's all my mindset. And so it comes down to really getting the right mindsets and not getting strongholds. I mean, my big thing is like just not second guessing myself and not thinking, oh, is this going to be okay? Is this going to be, but just get up in there and own it. If I can just do that with humility and with purity, I think, and confidence, then I think sky's the limit. And so, yes, in saying that, mindset's everything. So we've got to always change what we believe about ourselves to line up with the word, what we believe about others to line up with the word, what we believe about God wanting to do in a city, in a nation, in a continent, lining up with his word. And when you find mindsets in yourself, having the courage to address them, not just leaving them and think, oh, it'll be right. It won't be right. You'll still have that mindset if you don't address it. And so I have been busy for like 30 years addressing mindsets. And do you know what? I find myself in a season again, very, very busy addressing some different mindsets. And so I'm committed to that. I want to always look at where those mindsets have come from. I want to address them, and I want to have the courage to ask the Holy Spirit to help me change them. Because I think the continent depends on our mindsets being set in him. Yeah.
That's amazing. And I think so often a lot of people listening, they think that if you've been in leadership for long enough, you've got it together. And I know that you and I were talking just earlier about you continue to always, it's never going to come to an end. You're never going to arrive
in
a perfect mindset. You're going to constantly, for the rest of our lives, we're going to have to battle whatever those, not weaknesses, but those things that creep up in our hearts. We're going to have to battle it. And we're going to have to settle that becoming atmosphere changers is just part of who our calling, really.
It is part of our calling. Absolutely. And, you know, if we're going to build a church to build a nation, that sounds like, yeah, woo, rah. But you're going to build a church to build a nation? We've got a lot of things with strongholds out there that we've got to pull down. And that is going to take some faith. It's going to take some courage. It's going to take some boldness. It's going to take purity. It's going to take humility. It's going to take no ego. It's going to take dying to ourselves. It's going to take taking up our cross. It's going to take all of those things. And that is all a mindset. And that's a constant journey that we go on together. And I think if we're all in it together, we iron sharpens iron, we'll keep each other accountable, and we'll be able to truly make that statement a reality, build a church to build a nation.
I love that. And then just lastly, I think, you know, obviously we're in a season where there might be, we've been kind of messaging and checking in on all our creatives, and, you know, many of them are with their families, which is wonderful. And many of them are actually on their own at this point. You know, they're in isolation. Some of them love it. Like, some of them love the isolation. And some of them, you know, some of us would struggle, depending on our personalities, would possibly find isolation a little bit difficult. So you're actually in an atmosphere, if you like, of isolation. What would you say to us who find ourselves in an atmosphere of isolation? What are some healthy things we can do? I know encouraging yourself, obviously you've spoke a lot about courage, but I also think encouraging yourself in the word is obviously a non-negotiable. But is there anything else that you would say to creatives in this atmosphere of isolation? And possibly, could you speak or give us some tips on how to continue to innovate? Innovate within isolation. So maybe an atmosphere of isolation and innovation in isolation. There's no
right way. I'm going to try and remember that. Okay, so we might be in a season of isolation, but I do want to encourage you not to isolate yourself, because there's a difference. You're forced to isolation. You're forced to isolation, but you don't have to be forced to isolate. And I want to encourage you to keep talking to people. Keep engaging with people. Keep having groups and connect groups with people. Keep making phone calls to people. Keep doing some fun, crazy things. I mean, we just got the craziest, funniest video from some of our location pastors. Like, I literally was laughing out loud. And I'm like, okay, this is awesome. And they're putting a little bit of fun into this isolation part, because what are they doing? They're in isolation, but they're not isolating themselves. And I want to encourage you, because if you're at home and you're by yourself and you're on your phone and you've got no one around you, you quickly spiral downwards. And I just want to say, you've got to pull yourself out of that. You've got to decide, every day I'm going to connect with some different people, going to have some great conversations. conversations. I'm going to find some funny things to have a good laugh, lift your spirits, fill that tank of yours. You've got three tanks to fill at this time. You've got your spiritual tank, so you've got to fill that with the word, and you've got to fill it with prayer, and you've got to fill it with the presence of God. You've got to keep that spiritual tank strong. Then you've got your emotional tank. And, you know, the emotional tank is very important, especially when this season can be a lot of devices and you can spend a lot of time on your phone. You can actually emotionally become down, and you're like, why am I feeling depressed? Because you're looking at screens all the time, and you can go that way. I don't believe you will go that way, but you can. So there's an emotional part, and addressing the anxieties and addressing the fears and addressing those parts of your life. That's why it's absolutely crucial to fill that emotional tank. You have to be with other people, because you can't go shopping at the moment, girls, and you can't necessarily go have a coffee at the moment. So you actually have to fill that emotional tank with some good conversation and with some good encouragement, like we've spoken about. But so it's your spiritual tank, it's your emotional tank. And can I say, on your emotional tank, if you're feeling really down, you don't have to do that by yourself. Pick up the phone, tell someone, I'm feeling really down. Can I talk to you about it? I'm feeling worried about my future. I'm feeling anxious. Don't do that on your own. Do it in community. And there's people there that want to pray and love you and commit to you. Okay, so spiritual tank, emotional tank, and then there's your physical tank. And I do want to also encourage you to exercise at this time. Even if I'm watching my neighbors, they are awesome. There's a mum and a dad and two little girls and a dog, and they run around that house. I'm sure they run that house 50 times a day. They are like running, 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 running. We're like applauding them the other day. We're standing there being their cheerleaders. But I thought to myself, how awesome is that, that they are running around the house? Because what are they doing? They're getting their physical tank filled up, and they're doing their squats and their lunges and their runs. And do you know, it might sound so silly, but it's amazing how spiritual, emotional, and physical all intertwine. And if one is weak, it has a knock-on effect. And so I do want to encourage you to keep all of those tanks filled, and I believe you're going to go strong, and you're going to get through this lockdown, and God is going to keep speaking to you. I said to our team this week, we've got to download from the word, not from the world. The world is going to tell us a whole lot of stuff, and it's good to know that. It's good to know what's happening in the world, but that's not your download. Your download, you have to get your download from God. And because I think he's got a lot to say to us at the moment, and he's going to put faith and courage and revive our spirits. And I believe we're going to have a great season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Lucinda. That was incredible in every way. I love it. What we're going to do is we're going to get this out to all our creatives, but we're also going to get this out on a podcast for those who may not be able to watch it stream-wise. It's a little bit less with data, in terms of data, so that it'll be easy for you to have a listen to. But Pastor Lucinda, can I just thank you again. Our creative team loves you right across Africa and beyond. And I know that from Kenya to Cape Town, Johannesburg, we all are going to, this is gold, and we're all going to really value this. It's been amazing. And thank you for investing into us. Thank you for constantly drawing the gold out of us. And we love you so much.
And would I be able to just pray for the creatives?
Please, we would love that.
Okay. Well, Father, I really thank you for this beautiful opportunity we've had to talk and share. And Father, I pray that for every one of our creatives at this time in history, Father, that they would know the power of the Holy Spirit more than ever, that they would know that you are with them. Father, that you would pour in your courage, your strength, your hope. Lord, that they would see a whole new expectation for what lies ahead, Father. And those that are facing huge challenge, Father, in different areas, Lord, I just pray that you will bring calm and rest to that, that you would speak your word to that, that we would download from the word, and Father, it would come alive to us. And Father, I pray that in this season you would give our creatives such such innovative ideas and such ways to take things forward, Father. And Lord, that we're going to come out of this space stronger, more equipped, more able than we've ever been before. And Lord, I thank you for every person. Breathe your breath upon our creatives. Go before us and behind us and bless this part of our church above and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Luz. And we'll
see. And Mads, I forgot to talk about the innovation.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to say?
Just keep innovating. Have crazy dreams. Yeah. Imagine things. Write stuff down. Write everything down. Even if it seems like the craziest, stupidest idea, write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Because of 500 bad ideas, you're going to get maybe one God idea that's going to blow everybody away. So keep writing your thoughts, keep writing your ideas, keep getting clarity, keep innovating. The best is yet to come.
Okay, before we go, we just want you to we've released your rap level and chip fish.
My rap, what are you talking?
I just feel like we need to play it one more time just for everyone to hear.
Oh, do you? I've well and truly played this.
I think, and that, you know, I mean, I feel like there's been some incredible TikTok videos. Let's just.
Okay, I think that's enough now. Whole nother level and shift to dish.
How does it feel like being? How does it feel like being a rap star?
Oh, look, it just feels like I've gone to a whole nother level.
Okay, we love you so much. Thank you for spending time with us, and we'll see you soon. We'll see you on Friday. See ya.